Do you remember I posted about it? You and I sitting in front of the theater and you telling me to not have hope in Sonic. You remember this?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, just don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, I have hope. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to hold on to that hope.
Uh-huh.
And you were like, you're a moron for doing that.
Uh-huh.
And I refused.
Uh-huh.
I'm excited to talk about whether I was right or you were justified.
Should I be excited?
I don't know. Welcome to Nerd Critic, a podcast about movies from the dual perspective of critical nerdiness. I'm here with our studied and credentialed critic, Jordan.
And I am here with our resident nerd, CJ. Today is a great day because we're talking about a movie.
It's also a great day for another reason that our listeners probably don't know. But the day that we are recording this is Jordan's birthday.
It's so funny. I was like, what reason is that? I was so curious.
So I, of course, planned something for your birthday.
What?
We're recording on your birthday. Also, I'm pretty sure our first live show was on your wife's birthday. And I don't mean to take over the Petersons' birthdays, but apparently I do. So I got you something.
What?
I did.
It's my birthday.
It's your birthday.
And you got me something.
And I got you something.
What is this?
My wife made me put it in a box, but I didn't want to, so I'm going to just open it for you.
Oh my gosh.
Happy birthday.
Oh my gosh. These are Star Wars socks. Oh, this is amazing.
These
is amazing.
I got Jordan. They are Lando socks from Star Wars.
Yes, they are.
And they are just about as Star Wars nerdy as socks can be.
I don't have enough nerd socks. I think I have like one pair.
Oh, well, I'm glad I can double that for you.
I have a pair of Darth Vader socks. And
well, then now you have Lando.
I now have a hero sock.
Yeah,
as well as a villain sock.
I think we need to get you every character.
Now I need all of the other characters on my feet, please. These are awesome, CJ. Thank you so much.
You're
this is
welcome.
So thoughtful.
Happy birthday!
My gosh.
And I figured,
what a delightful human you are.
I made you. Have to talk about Sonic on your birthday, so I'd make it up to you.
Hey, you know what? It wasn't that bad. No.
Okay.
I mean, it was bad.
It was.
Let's be clear. Let's move right into the spoiler-free summary here.
But it wasn't like...
This was not a good movie.
But it wasn't...
But it wasn't a... Like a really bad movie.
It was kind of a bad movie, but it wasn't a really bad movie.
Yeah.
There's a big difference. It is exactly what I thought it would be. It was not surprising or revolutionary.
I'm not gonna. You know what? And here's.
But I enjoyed it.
I think here's my first introduction. Here's my first contribution to our conversation. I am not going to talk about. I'm not going to talk about anybody above the line. I'm not going to bother.
Well, because you got to talk about at least the three.
Well, we can talk about Ben Schwartz, James Marsden, and Jim Carrey.
Yes.
But we're going to be talking about them the whole episode.
That's true.
So I'm not going to talk about the director and the writers because, I mean, honestly, props to those guys for doing the work.
Yeah.
Right? But, like, this is not...
I mean,
this is not the movie that is defining someone's artistic career. Or let's hope it isn't.
Are you saying that this is not the peak of Jim Carrey's career?
Well, I mean, it might be the peak of Jim Carrey's career, but like, it's not. I don't think that the director has found his voice with this movie.
Understood.
And I don't think the writers are like this is the thing they always dreamed of like working on. So. Let's not bother them. So moving on to say, I mean, did I have a good time in this movie? I mean, kind of.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, again...
There were things that I genuinely enjoyed, which was a pleasant surprise for me.
So the reason that I held on hope for this movie was, yes, growing up, big Sonic fan, right? Mm-hmm. I played the Sega, and I played Sonic, and I loved it, and I felt like the characters were always fun things that you could explore a little bit more. So I was holding on to that fact and the three leads being Ben Schwartz, James Marsden, and Jim Carrey, hoping that it would at least be enjoyable. So I was holding on to the hope that I would have a good time in this movie, understanding that it's not going to be anything great.
I have to respond to one thing you said.
Yes.
Which is that you loved Sonic as a kid. It was super fun to play.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Who didn't love Sonic as a kid?
Yeah, of course.
You know what else I loved as a kid?
What?
I really loved pickup sticks. You know what I'm not looking forward to? A movie about pickup sticks.
It is totally different.
There are
legitimate characters in
Sonic.
No,
there aren't.
Yes, there are.
There are shapes and sounds in Sonic.
I can...
Just like pickup sticks.
I can name four characters and their several adjectives to describe the personality of each one.
We don't need to argue about this.
I'm just saying, it's not pickup sticks. There are, like Tails. You don't think Tails had a personality?
No.
Totally did.
No.
I disagree.
Okay. Anyway.
So I went into the movie with the hope that the actors are going to help me have a good enough time. That was the case with James Marsden.
Oh, my gosh.
And
I love him.
I was really hoping for Ben Schwartz because I love Ben Schwartz.
Yeah.
From Parks and Rec to a lot of his improv stuff. I listened to podcasts with him all over the place. I really like him.
Mm-hmm.
I got annoyed.
Oh, the incessant monologuing didn't do it for you?
Yeah, it was the one note of Sonic I had a hard time with. And then Jim Carrey, it was like, oh, Jim. Jim doing Jim.
All right. So I think that's actually a pretty good spoiler-free summary. This movie is very dumb. But the nice thing is that there are many points in this, not as many as maybe you'd wish for or need, but there are many points where the movie seems to openly recognize how dumb it is.
Yeah.
And like kind of just
more, but it did.
Yeah. But like there was some of that, which was very welcome. And
it had some funny moments. Some of the humor landed.
It had some genuine,
most of it didn't, but some
most
of
it,
did.
It didn't. Some of it really, really did. And James Marsden is always just going to make you happy. He's just, that's what he does. And then Jim Carrey is, I would say in almost every scene, Jim Carrey is fun to watch. There's it's Jim Carrey doing Jim Carrey. And honestly, a lot of the pretty much all the really funny stuff was from him. And that actually I didn't expect because like from the preview, I was like, oh, this is going to be gross.
Yeah.
But it ended up being really fun.
Yeah.
I really, really enjoyed his character. I think he made a great villain.
Yeah. And in a villain in like,
and if anything is going to make me, no spoilers.
Anyway. Yeah. He's a villain because he takes the superior road. Like I am so much better than you, but everything that he says, you're just like, you are so dumb, but somehow he thinks he's better. Anyway,
yeah.
If is it worth seeing, especially if you have like a family, go see this movie.
Sure.
Kids will have an absolute ball
Kids are probably going to have a good time. except for my kid, because when he gets old enough to even understand dialogue, he will already have a strong sense of story. Anyway.
He'll probably have a British accent and he'll just critique things and be like, Sonic, it did not challenge me intellectually. You know what I mean? That's what I picture.
So upset with you for that impression of my future son. So let's start spoiling it.
Okay,
the first thing I want to say is that if anything was going to get me to come back for the sequel, it was Jim Carrey hopping mushrooms with a giant mustache and a shaved head shouting reconnaissance gleefully.
And trying to cheer up the mushrooms, like laughing at his own joke and being like, oh, come on, that was funny.
Yeah. That stuff was pretty gold.
Yeah.
Like his like all of his dancing, his like self-congratulatory dancing.
Yeah.
Was great.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I have no complaints. Like, yeah. That was, I'm like, everything the villain should be.
I'm not sure I understand.
Oh. Whoa, Siri just joined the conversation.
Siri was not invited.
Whoa.
She is being escorted off the premises.
That was Robotnik right there.
Yeah.
See how he tied that back in?
I do. I do see that. really, honestly, everything that the villain should be and that you would want a villain to be in this kind of movie, Jim Carrey absolutely was.
Yeah. I mean, he was, it's weird because it's like, yes, Jim Carrey was doing Jim Carrey. He was a caricature of like a kid's villain, but that sounds bad.
He can do it.
But he did it. But
he can
that's
do it
what
because
it, that's
he fully 100% commits to that role. Like, here's the thing that people may not understand about Jim Carrey. When Jim Carrey does wacky, he's doing it from a place of, like, he is totally grounded.
Yeah.
He is 100% that. He leaves nothing off the table. And that is what most people can't do. When most actors, they're sort of like Jim Carrey, no actor's really quite like Jim Carrey, but like when actors are doing like a hammy villain, they're usually like winking at the audience the whole time. Like, look how hammy I am. Like, look how funny this is. Look how like I'm just crazy and doing antic-y things. And Jim Carrey is like, no, I'm serious.
Yeah, no, this is real.
This is 100% real.
Yeah.
And then he is just off the walls. And I love it. I love it. And you know, this is why we wish we saw more Jim Carrey.
Yeah. To echo or to continue the conversation with the actors specifically, I don't know what it is, but if I could grow up to be half as charming as James Marsden, I'd be really happy with myself.
He's just so lovely.
Like like him talking to a donut.
Yeah.
Should just be so lame. But I'm like, "Oh, James."
Oh, James.
Oh, little James.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about him, but there's the kind of this quality that just is magnetizing. You really enjoy him and you get invested. And his relationship with his wife in this movie wasn't very fleshed out at all, but I legitimately cared about them. Which
there's
is great.
A show on Netflix called Dead to Me that James Marsden is in. And it's funny because I don't want to give anything away, but he's not like a great guy. He plays kind of a bad person in this show. And I don't want to like, if you haven't seen the show, people, you should see it. It's really great. It's short. It's fantastic. Anyway, James Marsden plays something of a villain and it's hard to believe that. And it's really effective, but it almost doesn't work. Because he's so lovable, even when he's being a jerk, that you're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like you're probably faking it.
Yeah.
I think you're probably a really good guy. I really just love him so much. Anyway, yeah. Ben Schwartz, I have no problem with him as an actor. I have no problem with him as the voice talent of Sonic. The problem that I had was, and we'll get more into this, because I do want to nerd out about a couple things.
Yeah.
But the only real problem with Sonic was the writing. I mean, it was just a freaking fire hose of content, and most of it was not very good.
Yeah. So Ben Schwartz does one of my favorite shows, BoJack Horseman. He does one of the characters in there.
Wait, which character?
He's a side character. He is the
I've been watching a lot of BoJack.
He is
lately.
The rabbit agent that Princess Caroline kind of falls for. That's him.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah,
and
he's great.
And I think I think the reason he was cast as Sonic is because he is high energy, right? It's like the reason he was cast as a rabbit in BoJack Horseman and a Sonic, the Hedgehog.
It's a good cast.
But it becomes annoying. The reason in BoJack Horseman it works is because he's such a side character.
Yeah, he's not on.
You get doses of him, and then you get a break. Mm-hmm. There was no break at all with Sonic. It was just fast all the time.
What was his name in Parks and Rec?
Jean Ralphio.
Yeah, if it was all Jean Ralphio all the time,
that's too much.
You would be exhausted. You would be exhausted. But like some Jean Ralphio sometimes is amazing.
Amazing.
It's amazing.
I watched a three-minute...
It's a journal-worthy event.
I watched a three-minute edit of Jean Ralphio's... And then you had to take a nap. I'm done for the day. I'm going to bed.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, and that's what Sonic was the entire time. So I am hoping, can I tell you my hope?
Yeah.
This is kind of a what's coming next, but here is my hope. That they, if they make another one of these, which they could because it's doing very well in the box office, that they bring in Tails to kind of break up the speed of Sonic. That's my hope.
Okay, well, we'll get into that.
Or Knuckles, or Shadow. That's right, I named him Jordan.
Okay.
Because they're real.
Sure. So, let's just nerd out about a few specific things, because this is fun. This is what we do. So we've nerded out about the things we like the most. But I really loved... So there was... Speaking of a moment when the movie knew how dumb it was, there's that moment when that, like, big... you know, authoritative sort of general military old man guy, like in the room, in the situation room.
Yeah.
so hackneyed situation room with like all of the people that you'd most expect in the situation room, including the big,
it was like
grizzled general who at the end says, well, someone like, well, like, I can't believe we're calling in Robotnik, and him drawing up to his full authoritative stature in his chair and saying, neither can I, but we have no choice. Yeah. And it's just...
It really is like a kid was involved with it.
Oh, it's so funny because it's like at that moment you can't believe that the writers and everybody involved just knew how just deeply silly and stupid that scene is.
Yeah.
Like... It's so ridiculous. And so at that moment, you're like, oh, yeah, I mean, this is funny. Like, this is like this is a good laugh out loud moment.
Totally.
Even though it doesn't seem to be a comedic moment, it very much is, especially for like the adults. Like, the kids in the room aren't going to get it. They're going to be like, well, yeah, so they're bringing in this really
mysterious
guy, you know? But if you're an adult, you're kind of like, that might have been the funniest moment in the movie for me.
And I think kind of to add to that, there were like the qualities of this movie that weren't like meta, you know, but you could tell that they knew that it was absurd.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much the gloves and the technology of Robotnik.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
all
yeah.
of
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
over the top.
So over the top.
And his hand movements.
And his hands just make no sense.
Not even trying. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't need to.
He just has to be invested. Yeah. And he totally is. It's just like... I mean, it's the physical acting of Jim Carrey where you believe he's just doing it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what he's doing. He's... Yeah. Doing it, and it's so good.
And it just, and the whole style of Robotnik and his, like, his truck and
his
all of
costume?
It. His costume.
Amazing.
And then they bring attention to, like, what are you wearing? And it's like, what? It's a flight suit! Like, you're like, yeah, you guys are aware that this is absurd. Yeah. And it gave it a tone that was just a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah, it was great. It was great.
I want to nerd out about how, so this is, like... How to Train Your Dragon and Kung Fu Panda did this, where it was like, this is a cartoon, but we're going to give you some action, then some imagery that is amazing.
Okay.
The moment at the end where, there's
nothing. Oh, I think I know what moment you're going to talk about.
But like, he pops up, right? Sonic is down for the count, and then he hears the word friend, and he pops up.
we can ignore that for a moment.
Ignore that.
We're nerding out right
and
now.
And he pops up, and then just... like the blue lightning everywhere. Yeah, yeah. And then Robotnik like throws a bunch of lasers on him.
Yeah.
And he's just like kind of glowing with just a pissed off look on his face.
Yeah.
And then he just bounces around. That imagery was beautiful.
Oh yeah. No,
epic as can be.
Absolutely gorgeous. Like I like to often say like the least a movie can do, you know, is like entertain you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And for a movie like this, that like you are a video game adaptation of a video game that probably shouldn't have been adapted, right? Like So this is lowest common denominator stuff. But like the least you can do is present us with some like really inventive images.
Yeah.
Because one of the cool things about Sonic always has been like the imagery. Like yeah. It's this weird blue hedgehog who like goes into a
drop
ball
into a ball and spins
and just like goes a million miles an hour around these weird tracks
and crashes. And has like a blue beam behind.
Yeah. There's nothing. Yeah. Nothing about that screams narrative integrity.
Yeah.
in any way, and never will. Never will. But if you're going to make a movie, do something cool.
Yeah.
Do as many cool things as you can. And there were a few. And I agree. The coolest one, fittingly, the climax, and I'm thinking of the specific image I'm thinking of, is the overhead shot.
Of him
as
bouncing
he's,
back
as he's
and forth.
Essentially like becoming a star pattern of of hitting the ship.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous.
It gets brighter
and
brighter.
I felt myself like getting chills just from like, I was like,
it was really
shot
cool.
is amazing.
And I love that there's the added element of like, because that's how you fight Robotnik in the video game.
Oh, really?
You hit him as a ball. And then it's like, he goes to gear up to shoot you and he moves around. And it's like the boss battle, you know?
Right. Sure.
And you just run at him and then you kind of run into him as a ball. And so they kind of incorporated that in there.
Here's my discovery. Cool. You played Sonic more than I did.
Okay.
I may have played it for like an hour here and there at friends' houses. You clearly owned the game.
We did own the game. There was also the gameplay element that they brought into the movie of the coins, which is he has a bag of coins, and in Sonic, if you have coins banked up and you get hit, you lose either all your coins or like a good majority of your coins.
Oh, that's right.
And then
you have to hurry and pick
them back up.
Yeah,
that's
your
life force, right?
Yeah.
So he had the rings, and when he would get hit, he would drop the rings.
Yeah.
And then his number one goal was to pick the rings back up.
Yeah. And then he does fast.
And then he does really fast. Because if he gets hit again, then you die as Sonic. So it was kind of that element brought in, which I thought was really quite clever.
Yeah, it is quite clever. They clearly weren't like life force, but they were really important. And I would say that's something this movie actually got pretty right, was like, let's give this guy the MacGuffin. Sonic himself is the MacGuffin, but like the other MacGuffin, the non-character MacGuffin, is the bag of rings. And the rings are introduced and established at the very beginning of the movie as time travel devices. By the way, we're spoiling now. I think we said that.
Yeah. I mean,
like before, right?
Spoiler alert?
Whatever.
We talked
if you're
about
worried
the
about
the
Sonic the Hedgehog getting spoiled, then I guess I don't know what to do for you.
Yeah.
So we get introduced to this at the beginning of the movie, and then that's the central conflict is like, oh, well, I got to get these rings so that I can escape because I'm discovered, blah, 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 blah. I don't want to talk about that yet. But what I do want to talk about is that it was a cool device. It was utilized coolly. It looked good.
Yeah, it did look good.
And there was one moment in particular that I thought, hey, that's clever. Like, as in, I think that the setup was a bit forced, but the way that the rings ended up in San Francisco was nice.
Yeah, totally forced.
It was really forced, but it was nice.
Sure.
It was nice, especially in the physical execution of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the ring kind of, like, falling
falls
on the ground, opening up, portal, slipping through, like, I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it.
The highlight for the ring usage for me was when...
And there were better highlights.
What's the cop's name?
Tom.
With Tom. When Tom uses it to go behind.
Oh, yeah, great.
Yeah.
It's great.
It was a cool... It's
and
it's
I also
fun...
liked when Sonic saved them when they're falling.
Totally.
When they wind up falling into the barn. Yeah, I love it.
And I love that he, like, thinks about
one
that.
One day somebody's going to make a movie about Portal, which is a game I've never played, but people
can,
seem to love.
You can kind of put portals in front of you, and it's that kind
that
of concept.
That would be cool.
Yeah, there were... So I also want to talk about, comes from the rings, which is the world building of it, right? Because all of this is definitely not from the video game, because there really is no narrative. It's just Robotnik's the bad guy, and you have these different levels.
I'm sorry, what was that, CJ?
There's not a lot of narrative. There are still personalities of characters, but there's no narrative. Can that be true? I don't know yet. So because at the beginning of the movie, you start at the
Sass
at like, the legend
isn't character. Sorry, continue.
I said personality.
I know. I'm saying sass isn't a personality.
Got it. I lost my train of thought now. Hold on. Got it. So at the beginning of the movie, the beginning of the movie starts with him at, you know, the legendary Sonic level.
Mm.
And then he has to use the rings to go elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever remember an owl. Maybe an owl was in the video game somewhere, yeah. With like the long claw thing. But that, and then it's like, yeah, you have to keep moving because there, you know, throw the ring, think about where you want to go. You have these different planets that you can go to. And I think like the people, the bad guys at the very beginning that shot long, I think it's a long claw, the owl, shot her, very much looked like Knuckles. So I think that there is somewhat of a world that they're trying to build.
Yeah.
And I'm at least intrigued.
Yeah.
Interested to see what they do.
Not even a little bit, actually.
If they come up with a second one,
I think
one,
it was 100% failure in world building. Like 100% failure.
Just there's no interest.
No.
None.
Zero interest.
None.
Zero interest.
You don't want to know what other worlds are out there,
tell you
what
why.
Other characters.
I'll tell you why. Because
is Sonic the only one that's fast? Are there other Sonics out there?
Like the thing is that no part of this movie made me interested in that. No part of it. Like in the beginning, I was like, it's a bunch of exposition monologue, of him telling a story about himself, like where he's from, with no actual information that mattered at all.
Okay.
Like, there's no school. It's pretty great, isn't it? Kids, no school. Yay! Peter pandering much?
Yeah.
Anyway. And then as he's, you know, I mean, what does he do with his life? Well, he just runs around really fast and it's amazing. And then he winds up running into Mrs. Owl, who's like, slow down, you're going to get caught. Oh, turns out you've been caught. By whom?
He was raised by the owl.
Who cares, right? I know, I'm saying.
Okay.
Like, right.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Point is, like, why? Doesn't matter. We're given no reasons to care. None. And then she says, here's a bunch of rings. Run forever. The end. That's the end of the setup. That's all the setup you get. There's literally nothing for me to hold on to.
The setup.
I have zero interest in anything I just saw.
The setup is wherever you go, there will always be bad people who want your power.
Okay.
I mean, you simplified it. There's a little bit more to it.
And it's interesting because that doesn't tell me anything. That doesn't give me any teaser. As to anything, like that's not enough, CJ. Not enough to actually inspire interest because all I'm told is like, you're super powerful, run away. That's it. That's the whole thing. That's the entire thing.
Well,
my very first thought as she was sending him through and honestly, that scene was really bad in general. Like, the whole beginning was just bad. I mean, the whole, like, very, the convenient capture, like, it was, like, the most kind of lazy, fast, like, just get through this setup sequence, like, I've seen in a long time. Where, like, well, how do we set up where he's from? Well, let's watch him racing around. And where is he racing to? He's racing to the person who raised him. And what happens when he gets there? Well, he gets caught, like, right in the middle of him saying, well, I gotta be careful, and blah blah blah. And then he gets, they're on to him, and why can he not just run away? Because they're clearly much slower than him in every way. Well, I don't know, it doesn't matter, she's saying you can't. And so But like, why doesn't she go with him? Well, because she's in the process of getting shot. Why? Because, well, she needs to get shot in order for her not to go with. I mean, honestly, this is the conversation. It's not interesting because it's convenient and it's hackneyed. It's trite. It doesn't make sense. It's like, it's just there. It's there for the sake of getting us to the next place. And the next place is clearly all they really cared about. Anyway, but even more than that, I was upset that the person that this wise owl, because owls are supposed to be wise,
sure,
the best she could do was to tell him to never stop running, which is bad parenting advice. It's because you can't. It's like, run forever, be alone forever.
Sure, the whole message.
That's it.
I'm gonna
die now.
You're right. The whole message is, you know, that there are things worth fighting for. There, you know, you can't, like, There are people that are there.
But the wise old owl just didn't know
just
that.
Didn't
she
say
was like,
that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I was the only other good being in the entire universe. Otherwise, I would have maybe given you better advice.
I understand.
Oh,
it's
so
bad,
CJ. It was so bad.
But where this began was that there are elements of a world.
Yeah.
In this
and then
movie
at the end, here's the only
that
thing,
I want to know where they go.
Here's
where
the
it
only
goes.
Thing I liked about the world building, and I'll tell you what it is, because it's also when I said at the beginning. I was like, if there's one thing,
it's the mushrooms.
It's the mushrooms, and it's only because Robotnik is like bouncing around that world with nothing, and that's funny. It's just funny. It's not really interesting. It's just like really genuinely funny, and sure. So I'm like, I will go back to see what happens because that's wonderful. When the other dude, Tails, right, shows up, the double-tailed flying, at the end.
Yeah. Wait, at the end.
At the end. Tail.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tail shows up at the end.
Yeah.
You're making me doubt myself.
Sorry.
I was.
Sorry. Continue. I was thinking about something else. Keep going.
It's okay. Tail shows up at the end. And like, why then? Well, because it was the end of the movie. That's the reason. The reason the tail shows up at that moment in his life 10 years later.
Sure.
Is because it was the end of the movie. says some inane plot setup thing to set up the sequel. Literally, the things that this character says are only to set up the sequel. There's no character. There's nothing. There's nothing. Reason. There's no ground. It's not grounded at all. And I found myself just like deeply irritated at that character's presence. And then
she bounced up into
the air and started flying with her tails. I was like, I don't want to watch any more of this.
I'm
ever.
So in.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so
man.
In.
Because in that moment, I'm like,
also,
I'm like,
Knuckles was my favorite, and I want to see him be the bad guy in the next movie.
All right. Anyway, I just obviously this movie's not made for me. but I feel like there were a lot of very easy choices made in this movie, and it really bothered me.
And I get that. It's hard. So we talk about often that to make a really good movie is very, very difficult.
It's impossible.
Right? It's impossible. And so these filmmakers are given, like, you have Sonic. Make a movie that appeals to this demographic with Sonic. It's going to be so much easier to make easy, like, to just do easy decisions and get the paycheck and make the movie than you want to make.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Who is the person that's going to take Sonic and be like, okay, guys, we're going to make an incredible movie about Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
It is possible. You could have workshopped this to be, like, even if you focus on different things, you focus on... like the imagery a little bit more. You make the action absolutely epic. Whatever it is, but whatever that is to make this movie better, it's going to take more time and more effort and more money. And so, like, the fact that these people made easy decisions, it's like you go into this movie, you have to be thinking, of course, they're going to make the easy decision because it made $60 million. Because it's pretty and it's fun and it's exactly what you expect it to be.
No, it made $60 million because it was about Sonic the Hedgehog. And there was nothing else that came out this weekend to compete with it.
That's true.
So
The counter-programming was on point.
Yeah, the counter-programming was an absolute perfect release time. Like,
it was.
Like, the guys who... I mean, we're talking about, like, Oscar awards that should exist. Like, programmers.
Programming?
Schedule. People who pick the date. Like, movies, there are genuine movie successes, critically and, like, box office, critically and financially, who owe almost all of their success to good timing.
That's true.
I mean, many movies owe their success to good timing. Anyway, point is, everything you're saying is true.
The question is, can you be legitimately upset at this movie for taking the easy road? Or do you go to it with the mentality that, of course, there's no one that is going to make a Sonic the Hedgehog movie as great as it even could be? You know? Like, it's a difficult ask to ask this movie to be much more than easy. See what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, but I feel like, so, The problem, CJ, is that there's somebody who's going to make that argument about every single movie that is based on some popular IP. Every single one. Like, the thing you just said is the exact thing that people say about Marvel movies when we complain about the deficiencies of Marvel movie storytelling. If we say, oh my gosh, there was this moment where they had this opportunity. I mean, our very first episode was about Infinity War, and I had a lot to say. I mean, don't go back and listen to that episode. It's really embarrassing. But when we talked about that, when we talked about Infinity War, I had a lot to say, and you agreed, and you had a lot to say about Thanos.
Yeah.
And the decisions that were made around Thanos and like how, you know, how I think it could have been done better for him to be to have been set up as a villain in a more effective way that would have, I think, done what the filmmakers were hoping to do with this story. Now, when I talk to people who are not big Marvel fans about that movie or any other Marvel movie, and I start talking about things that they would make almost the same argument you're making. Well, who's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because it's based on a Marvel movie. The only reason people are showing up is because it's about Iron Man. Like, who cares with their deficiencies in this? I mean, that is the literal argument you're making. CJ, if you're going to make that argument, we shouldn't be doing this podcast.
I do feel like it's different, though.
It's not different.
It is different.
You're spending $100 million on making a movie. Take the time.
Yes, and you're absolutely right that in
the end, I'm right.
In the perfect world, yes, and I would like to challenge them, the filmmakers, whoever them is.
I'm gonna drop this on the studio. I'm gonna drop this on the producers.
Okay,
because this is a development problem. It is a development problem.
You're right. It absolutely
because
is.
You know you could say the writers are. I mean, let me put myself in the writer's shoes. This is a paycheck. I don't feel passionately about this. I want to get it done so that I can move on to my next project. Right, but if they keep paying for rewrites. And the producers and the producers come back at me and say, listen, man, you can't have Sonic go to a baseball game, run around pointlessly, get mad over nothing, create a big explosion, and have that be your inciting incident. You can't do that because it's based on nothing. Like, give me a little more motivation. Set this story up with a better engine so that people will care a little bit more going into it. And as a writer, if you're paying me for another draft, I'm not going to come back at you and be like, people won't care! It's Sonic!
Sure.
I'm going to say, okay,
yeah.
I get it. That's actually a great note. I'm going to try to do another version of this.
Okay, so is the question here, Why wasn't the more time spent and more effort spent to make this movie better? Or is the question, why was this movie made in the first place?
I think it's apples. It's apples and oranges. I don't think it's fair to conflate the two questions.
Well, because I think it's an important distinction.
Are you going to say it was made to make money?
No, I'm saying
you know my response to that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like
no,
a repeat.
Sure, but I think it's an important distinction in that. Should it be genuine care and passion for the subject matter that drives the making of a movie every time?
No, but it should be. There's a level, the question is about integrity. If you are making a movie, any movie, you owe it to the movie to do your best. And that goes for the director, it goes for the actors, it goes for the writers, it goes for the producers, it goes
okay.
for the studio. You owe it to the movie to try to make the best version of that movie that you can.
So
the deficiency is often in the development process where they feel like they don't have to commit the time and money into the development to really make sure that the story works
okay.
and as good as it can be because they think, and they're right, that they can get away with it.
Yeah, they're absolutely right. So the director and the writers are employees.
Yeah.
And you're saying that even if they were like, okay, I'm going to do the very, very best job I can possibly do, that the employer, the studio, is saying, We don't need you to. Just do it in the amount of time with the amount of money.
There's no way to know what the writers thought of the script when it went to production. There's no way to know what the director thought. There's no way to know what edits were made, what changes were made, what notes were given. There's no way to know any of that. But it's safe to presume that at some point, somebody knew that there were some major weaknesses in this script.
You would assume so.
You would assume somebody somewhere somehow knew. And if they raised the objection, which they probably didn't, because it's very unlikely that beyond a certain point, because someone's gonna say, hey, listen, this isn't gonna put butts in seats. Like, we need to, like, you gotta change the ending or whatever. Like, that, like, that's gonna happen. But beyond that, like, to that sort of, like, trying to really iterate to that higher level of, like, oh, this story really works, you know? Take, you know, great examples like Moana or Wreck-It Ralph, right? Like, these animated movies that have incredible support at their studio. Like, really great producers paired with great creators really trying hard and getting the development in there. That isn't happening. And it's not... And so you can't really blame the directors and the writers because they're not... Like, you just have to give them more resources and attention. Yeah.
Okay. So you're right. You're right. I take back the, you shouldn't judge this movie for being easy because it was always going to be that.
You should judge every movie.
You should. You're right. I take that back.
You're also right. Not that you shouldn't judge, but that, like, you need to have proper expectations. I expected this movie to be much worse.
Yeah, yeah. So it's about context of the movie. There's different criteria for different movies, right? Like, our episode that comes out Monday is on The Irishman.
Mm-hmm.
I watched The Irishman and I watched Sonic the Hedgehog in
back to back
very very different minds, right? So it's not that you have, it's not that there, that every movie should be critiqued with the same criteria. There should never be an expectation of, or there, it should never be acceptable,
yeah,
that it's going to be a bad story.
What we're fighting is permissiveness.
Okay. Yeah.
What we're fighting is the idea that you're just sort of throwing your hands in the air and saying, well, that's just the way these movies are.
Yeah.
Too bad. Yeah. Sorry, your movies suck now. So, but enjoy them. Eat your popcorn. The kids are happy. Let's go home. Like, yes. So if we're just accepting that forever, yeah, like, that's the whole reason we're doing this show.
Okay. So, there were a lot of people that were upset about our take on Frozen 2. Okay, so the argument, Jordan's face, that was great. The argument was that we were too critical and that we were judging Frozen 2 with the criteria of not a cartoon kids movie.
Bullcrap. It's bullcrap. So Absolute bullcrap.
So what we're explaining now with Sonic in that...
No offense to those people who thought that.
Yeah, that's not the case.
You're wrong, but continue.
This is me trying to articulate the difference between us looking at Frozen 2 as like, oh, judging it with eyes that weren't looking at a kids movie, and looking at Frozen 2 and saying that it's not okay to be like, well, this is just how it goes. That's what makes it unacceptable.
Yes.
Is this, well, it's, you know, Frozen 2, well, there's these plot holes, but, oh, it's a kids movie, so it's fine.
Yeah.
And that, you're right, that's the case with Sonic as well.
Yeah.
That it was like, oh, how do we get him on Earth? Well, let's do it this way. Does it need more explaining? Nah, it's a kids movie.
Nah,
it's fine.
They won't care.
They won't get it. Yeah. That's what's not okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying.
I feel good about that.
Good. I'm glad.
I'm glad we had this conversation.
Me too. Me too. I did have a better time. Well, and one of the reasons I had a good time. So as an audience, it's important to try to manage your expectations when you go in to see a movie because you will have a better time. I mean, I think it's almost like a one-to-one correlation. You'll have a better time the lower your expectations are.
Absolutely.
Even if a movie is excellent.
Yeah.
If you have... really low expectations going in, you're going to have an amazing time.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you go in expecting like garbage and you find gold, you're going to, that's a transcendent moment. Yeah. That's really, really wonderful.
Yeah.
So I think going in, not cynically, but just like, don't overhype yourself. But then on the flip side, like be demanding, you know, just like,
and that's really difficult to do. That's yeah. really difficult to manage the expectations while still being able to have, it's like manage your expectations, but don't be okay with,
don't settle
it being bad. Don't settle. Yeah. Manage your expectations, but don't be okay to settle.
Yeah.
It's a weird line.
So it really is about timing. So before you go to see a movie, be like, manage those expectations. Keep your whatever that is,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like don't be too starry eyed before you go to see a movie. After you finish watching the movie, be ruthless.
Mm.
Like don't accept anything. Like don't accept weaknesses. And I'm not, obviously, you know, what the people who are listening to this show are not like making decisions. Typically,
sure.
I mean, maybe it's. I mean, obviously, Bob Iger is, and I know he's a big fan of the show. But
as we've been in the past,
yeah. But the point is, like, this is about trying to become a better audience, a better watcher of movies, and you're not doing anybody, including and especially yourself, any favors if you're just like, well, it's fine.
Yeah,
it's acceptable. Fine.
Yeah,
I'm fine with that.
Yeah,
like. Not that you have to get upset and angry or whatever, but just, like, think about it. Like, how could that have been better? Like, what are you looking for? What do you want? What do you, you know? Like, just have the conversation. Think about it. And, yeah, anyway. Because that's like, if more people did that, we wouldn't get as many Sonics. Because people would be mad.
Yeah.
But they're not mad because they don't care.
Yeah.
Because they don't remember it. Because the movie doesn't matter. Like they spent $100 million and all that time and energy or whatever and on this incredibly valuable IP on something that ultimately just doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the tragedy that we're trying to, you know, I mean, in our very tiny pinprick way, like fight against. Anyway.
Amen.
I do want to see more Jim Carrey as Mr. Robotnik. And so as my pre-movie watching self, I will say whatever comes next, you know, I really actually pray that there is not another Sonic movie.
There will be. That's what's coming next is another one because this one made money in the box office.
Yep.
So they'll make another one and they'll bring in multiple other characters.
Yep.
From the Sonic
games.
They'll
bring a bunch of other, animated shapes. Figures from video games. Yeah, colorful shapes.
Very well fleshed out and full of personality characters.
Multi-dimensional.
Yes, exactly.
Complexly arced.
Have you seen Knuckles? He's red, Jordan. And he has
and
spikes.
Sonic.
And he has spikes on his knuckles.
He's blue. And so Tails is kind of like an orange.
The story basically writes itself.
Yeah. Like, what else do you need? You got color-coded main characters.
Shadow's black
yeah.
with a little bit of red. So
what,
two colors
yeah.
on him.
Honestly, yeah. I mean that's also Mr. Robotnik's.
That's true.
Outfit. So I think there might
be Shadow's bad.
There might be an issue.
Knuckles started out bad, but then he
don't
becomes
want you
good.
To keep, I don't want you to keep talking.
See, there's,
I want this
there's
to be
a
over.
Story there.
I want
to
end this episode now.
Thank you, Michael Baumiller, for the wonderful music.
And please, please, everyone, remember, love movies like a nerd. Respect them like a nerd.
And cut.